H 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Recalling a conversation with her former boss in 2018 about the $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels, former Trump aide Hope Hicks testifying at the Trump hush money criminal trial in New York. At the courthouse, ABC's Olivia Rubin.
She came across as remarkably credible on the stand. I don't think there was a person in that room who thought that Hope Hicks was not telling the truth. Just based off of her demeanor, she broke down crying. She was very careful with her answers. She was very soft, and she was very specific with what she was saying.
Torrential rain and flood emergencies for millions and tornadoes in southeast Texas and Louisiana. Indicted on conspiracy and bribery charges, taken into custody, Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar and his wife. The Justice Department investigating possible ties to the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. CIA Director Bill Burns now in Egypt to join talks about a ceasefire and release of hostages. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Student protesters are meeting with University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin today. That's after police and campus leaders promised to take no action against pro-Palestinian protesters for 24 hours. 34 people were arrested on Wednesday over tents the demonstrators put up on campus. Workers in Wisconsin say the government needs to fully fund Social Security. Jessica LaPointe is a union leader in Green Bay. She says chronic underfunding means slow service.
Service delays are far and wide, and it could take, you know, more than 4 months to start your retirement benefits up.
As part of May Day commemorations this week, unions are calling on Congress to find long-term funding solutions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Following the announcement that Marshfield Medical Center Rice Lake would be temporarily pausing its labor and delivery services, Tamarack Health Hayward Medical Center has announced it can take in expecting mothers in the area. According to a statement sent out on Friday, the organization offers pregnancy and birth care services with large private birthing suites and a Journey Through Parenthood program to educate families about the childbirth process. The Marshfield pause is expected to last 30 to 60 days. As pro-Palestinian protesters set up shop in the Duluth Civic Center courtyard, the Duluth Police Department is warning them it's against the law to set up campsites there. The protest began around 2 p.m. on Wednesday at the Duluth Public Library, and protesters stopped by Wells Fargo and Caterpillar on their way to City Hall to demand that they divest from Israel. In a press release, the city said they respect the First Amendment rights of the protesters, who have been peaceful, but will monitor the situation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wrigley Field, the Cubs and Brewers, and Milwaukee comes out on top with a 3-1 win. Joe Ross, the winning pitcher, the crew laying down bunts, stealing bases, moving base runners, manager Pat Murphy suspended. So Ricky Weeks taking over was asked, were those his decisions?
Have you seen this play yet? And that's what we do. For our offense to really work, I think we got to be creative. And creativity comes with getting on base, maybe having a little bunt here or two, still a base here or there, but those guys in that clubhouse there, those are baseball players. So when you have that, you got a good chance to win a baseball game at the end.
NFL Packers rookie minicamp underway in Green Bay. Last year, Alex Magoo was the number 3 starting quarterback. Today, he lined up at wide receiver.
He spent a lot of time on the practice squad or on the scout team running receiver routes. So we felt like that might be his best chance here.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky and lows in the low 40s. For tomorrow, some showers in the morning, staying cloudy through the afternoon with lingering raindrops and highs in the mid-50s. Sunshine's back for Sunday to the mid-60s for a high. Some more rain possible late Monday night. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, Mary Mazzio, whose documentary Bad River focuses on the effort to remove a petroleum pipeline endangering waters up north.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, there it is. Friday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Educated educators talking education. Yes, it is TGI. BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. I had to think there on you for a second.
That's okay.
Remembering acronyms and then what they stand. TGIBPF. Yeah, that's it. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. It is Busted Pencils Friday. It's Tim. It's Anya. Johnny. Uh-oh. Maybe. He definitely made it back from Madison, Wisconsin. We know that because last night he was in his space that he occupies in the state of Washington. So we know he made it back safely. So we're not worried that he might possibly be, you know, standing in line waiting for his baggage to return and it just hasn't come back yet. Or maybe he got on an Uber and the Uber driver didn't know which way to go. We're positive he made it home safely. For those of you saying you guys should check to see if he made it home safely, we already did. He's good. Lupinacci, when you find yourself, we're ready for it.
We'll take you when you're ready for us, Johnny. Well, when you're ready to come home, the show is ready for you.
Yes. The light is always on for you. You know,
we'll leave the light on for you.
We'll leave the light on for you. Yeah. Well, you know, unlike Motel 6, though, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Just got to put that out there. Minocqua Brewing Company sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Yeah, just putting that out there. It's been a week, a traveling week. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, Anya got to see each other for the first time in person. All of us together.
That's right.
All of us.
Big family reunion.
Big family reunion. Went down to Ian's Pizza, had some pizza. Some of the best pizza, macaroni and cheese pizza. It was eaten. It was eaten for sure. So anybody's going, did Lupinacci try it? He did. He tried it and he liked it. He denied it at first that he was even going to get it. But one look at Ian's macaroni and cheese pizza on you. And he went, yeah, maybe I'll get one of those.
It is the lure. Once you see it behind the glass, that Ian's person's walking up. How many slices do you want, man? And you can smell that mac and cheese pizza. It's a lot different than over the camera like this.
It is. It's much, much different. So we did that. And then, the first live show Monday together, when we say the live part was is that we were all live and in person. And then Tuesday, though, the live remote from Minocqua Brewing Company Tap Room. Again, thank you for everybody who came out that night. Great crowd, great energy, support. The ability to show that, man, there are people who care about democracy and there are people who care about beer. Caring about beer and democracy kind of go together, Anya. And that was the best thing about that night, you know?
I agree. There was a great big sign over the bar that Johnny referenced on air that I got to see later that says, drink beer and don't be racist, which just seemed like two parts of almost, not maybe not every day, maybe not a beer every day, but each day you should avoid racism and a healthy number of days have a beer. It was a great message and a great place.
You know, if you're practicing non-racism, have a beer with it. That's
not even
all.
Just non-racism, Tim. Anti-racism.
Anti-racism.
I know I sound like Johnny right now. I got to jump
no,
in.
No, I know. My God. Jeez, my words. I got to always choose my words so carefully. But yeah, lovely and Busted Pencils truly is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. And so when you hear us reading that about what Minocqua Brewing Company has been up to, the fact that as a progressive business, though, and Kurt Bankstead, the owner and entrepreneur, is that guess what? A private business can support public schools. Because as we keep saying, is that, you know, the foundation of democracy is public schools. Well, and one of the things in a democracy, to have a successful business, you have to have a successful democracy. So if you're a successful business out there saying, I want to get in on this supporting democracy stuff, give us a call. Call Busted Pencils, 855-752-4842, if you want to jump in. If you know a progressive business out there that wants to support democracy, hey, if you know a conservative business out there that wants to support democracy, call us. We're just saying, you know, we put it all out there. Busted Pencils, hey, anything for democracy is what we're going to do. So, Anya, though, the other, yeah, and you said the news, though, education news, and we did, you know, we've also covered a lot of what had been happening with Title IX and the inclusion of the expansion of the definition for the protections of particularly the LGBTQ plus community, and now the kind of, you know, kickback from conservative states that are saying, yeah, we're not going to do it. And not only we're not going to do it, we're going to sue the Department of Education because, you know, when we passed our don't say gay law, we meant it, darn it. We were not going to entertain Anya. We were not going to entertain this thing that we were not going to say gay. We passed don't say gay because, sorry, we want to discriminate. That was our law in our state says discrimination shall be completed and done. So, yo, Department of Education under the Biden administration, you can't go expanding definitions that conflict with our state definition, because, you know, as a state, we're happy to bully and make people feel horrendous. I see a little smirk on your face there, Anya.
Yeah, I'm just pulling my face together to stop the little four-letter words from coming out on air. But it's hard when these laws and these statements come out from states where they're like, hey, look, it's our right to bully some of our citizens on the basis of this identity or another. And the federal government will try to step in and say, hey, remember, like, we gave you states some rights, but remember how we were all about, like, you can't infringe on some of this big stuff. Like, we're going to set some of the big stuff, and then you guys, the states, can handle some of the smaller stuff. It's just crazy to see the same states that want to yell about, you know, government overreach and these things, they're actually overreaching their, let's say, jurisdiction. They're overreaching in some ways, and really screwing with the freedoms of some of their own citizens, their gay citizens, trans citizens. And that's just gross and upsetting to see when that happens.
It's only overreaching when I decide it's overreaching.
Oh, sure. Right.
You understand the definition of overreach only applies to me. So when I'm annoyed, I get to call that I'm annoyed and I get to say what the cause is. Okay, it doesn't matter what the real cause is, what I say the cause is. And you know what? This one, I mean, the whole idea of expanding a sense of humanity to our brothers and sisters out there, the idea that you're going to literally put a lawsuit in to say, we don't want to do that. We do not want to expand protections and humanity, a nod to humans that, you know what, we're on this little, what do they say, this blue marble together, trying to figure it out, not here for a whole long time, but while we're here trying to figure it out. And one of the things, though, we seem to be, at least a good portion of people, is that, you know, it's not cool to be beating up on people if you yourself are a person.
Yeah.
You know, that's right?
Treat others the way you want to be treated is a statement that you find in many cultures and many religions and different words, but it all comes back to, would you like this to happen to you? If not, perhaps refrain from doing it. And yet we still see folks who do very cruel things to other humans without thinking about, hey, we share humanity, us too. Why would I do this to this person?
Just think about this. I'm reversing it and going, okay, like, let's pass laws that restrict single sex bathrooms.
Sure.
Only make fully inclusive gender neutral bathrooms. You know, wait, that's actually not a bad idea, is it?
I was sitting here like, Tim, we can't suggest, because I kind of like this idea that, and really what that would look like is every restroom essentially needs to have a toilet and or a urinal, or a toilet can go for both of those items. So it's not some crazy thing where it has to have gender scanning technology. It's just a restroom. Yeah.
You do not have to place a set of dead deer antlers above your door to designate who's going in there.
No,
right?
Or a set of doe hooves for the other. What would you eat? I guess nothing above the door. Poor lady's room, undecorated.
Yeah, undecorated, you know, but hey, if, as long as you know where the bucks are, that's the reality of what's important. It's the bucks. It's men. Men are important on you in this world.
I keep being told that. Yeah.
And don't you understand how nervous we are lately that there's been a lot of kind of animosity heaped towards my mankinds? You know, there's lots of mankinds out there that are feeling awfully threatened. You know, I put that big old 8-point rack above my bathroom so I can make sure that the world understands that I'm a man.
That's right.
I killed that thing. I cut its antlers off and I put it above my bathroom to point out that I'm a buck. And if you don't like that, well then how about, here's the other bathroom. We got pointers and we got setters. So you put a point. Oh my God. I can't believe I just did that.
You are really getting into that business owner's mindset, Tim, and I think it's good to understand where that person might be coming from, but don't stray too far. I don't want to lose.
Oh, you know, speaking of that, though, too, check out Minocqua Brewing Company. We'll throw this out there, though. People in Madison, people in Milwaukee, hey, people in Tennessee, Texas, California, go to Madison, Wisconsin, check out Minocqua Brewing Tap Room, and here's the cool thing. When it is time to pick if you're a pointer or a setter, or if you're a buck or a doe, man, that will be fun, because that isn't the decision you get to make when you go to the Minocqua Brewing Company. You have another decision to make.
That's right.
And
that
would be so funny to see people going, I ain't going in that bathroom. We're going to leave that as a surprise for people. Go down to Minocqua Brewing Company. Check out the bathroom. Determine where you belong. Determine where you want to drop your poop. Or your pee. Make that decision.
It is the most important decision of your day, isn't it?
I tell you, where you make that deposit matters. It's Busted Pencils. Make your deposit here, though. Call us, 855-752-4842. Don't deposit like that, though, too. It's Busted Pencils. But Anya, you know. So, yeah, the other part, though, of the news today, and I know you said it's been going on all day, every news, but what's happening on college campuses in America right now, protests, anti-protests, taking down protests, certain government agencies deciding that they're not going to permit protests, other institutions saying, no, it's our job to protect free speech and protests. What are we going to do? Well, coming up next, we're going to redefine anti-Semitism.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
That's not me yelling, man. That's Tim from Rise Against, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The other Tim screams like that. Not me. Man, I don't have a big voice like that on you. People are saying, like, Tim, why are you screaming so much when the music's coming in? That's Tim Mickelrath from Rise Against doing it. The number's 855-752-4842. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. And yeah, to add to what's happening on college campuses right now. And so I'm gonna read from Al Jazeera here what happened. And the reason is that it seems like everybody's copying the same AP news about what happened. But again, how did we get to the point where there is such upheaval on the college campuses? To remember that on October 7th, a incredibly blatant, horrendous, horrible attack on civilians happened in Israel. It was carried out by Hamas, which then led into retaliation by Israel, which has now led into where we are here now, Anya, in May? And wow. It's, how do you make sense of it? Well, some of the protesting is being seen as anti-Semitic, right? And so I want to put this out. The news from, and this is from Al Jazeera, but again, it's been copied from every other place. U.S. passes controversial bill that expands the definition of anti-Semitism. And quote, the United States House of Representatives has overwhelmingly passed a bill that would expand the federal definition of anti-Semitism despite opposition from civil liberties groups. The bill passed the House on Wednesday by a margin of 320-91 and is largely seen as a reaction to ongoing anti-war protests, and now goes to the Senate. Okay, so this would make it a federal anti-discrimination law that bars discrimination based on shared ancestry, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. This would be adding to the IHRA's definition of the law to the Federal Department of Education, and putting this more into that this comes out of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism. And what this does, Anya, is expands Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, of which there is an anti-Semitism definition. It expands that anti-Semitism definition. And it hasn't passed the Senate, but 320-91. So overwhelming bipartisan support. The story that isn't or doesn't seem to be making it is the minority bipartisan support of saying not a good idea. Not a good idea to create an expansion of this. What are you thinking out there? Is this the moment where what's happening on college campuses, should we be defining, redefining, expanding the definition of anti-Semitism? Anya, you got some thoughts.
Oh, some is an understatement. Yeah,
right.
I have too many that I'm physically biting my tongue. I want to back up to just say.
Sure.
Oh, geez, where do I want to go? So. This definition, as you're reading it, I think it's important to remember where the term anti-Semitism comes from, because as you referenced in it, it's about I can't find my words. Discriminating. There it is. Discriminating based on ethnicity, ancestry, shared ancestry. Right now, So that makes sense when you recall or learn that the word anti-Semitism comes from German, the German word Antisemitismus, which was a term invented. It was actually invented by Nazis to sort of scientifies, make their hatred sound more scientific. The proposal essentially Nazis were putting forward when they put forward the word anti-Semitism was, oh, we don't hate these people because of their religion. We hate them because of their race, because they're an inferior race. And through phrenology and a bunch of other pseudoscience, we can prove that they are less capable, less apt, so on and so forth. So in the sense that we need to be talking about anti-Semitism, comma, its relationship to race, comma, the understanding that Judaism is an ethno-religion, that there are ethnic components and religious components, all of that is important. Where I get nervous, and of course I'm just reading from the AP and understanding sort of what this bill is trying to look like, is I don't think this combats necessarily where the fear for Jewish students is residing when it comes to these on-campus protests. I want all people to be able to express free speech. When the definitions of the words in their speeches mean we want to hurt people, for example, a lot of these protests are using the term intifada, globalize the intifada, intifada revolution. I've seen video of the Shorewood High School students who walked out yesterday, walking to the UWM encampment, saying that. The intifadas were multiple periods of time where terror attacks happened against Jews, not against Zionists, because then we would be looking for members of other religions who agree with the idea of Jewish autonomy, but specifically targeting Jews. So when I, as a Jew here, let's make the intifada global. What I'm hearing is the same terror attacks that killed my friend Yogev's grandparents at a Passover dinner, you'd like to see that happen everywhere. And that is violent. That is terrorism. So I don't see in this bill, nor a lot of the time do I see in the conversations happening, discussion about what we as Jews are actually afraid of. I'm not afraid of kids in tents. That's fine. I love camping. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not okay with those kids in tents turning around and saying, hey, with no knowledge of this historical period. I mean, it would be like saying, let's globalize pogroms. Pogroms were a word for rounding up and murdering Jews in Imperial Russia. We wouldn't want to hear that term either. So I don't know what that answers, if anything. I guess it's a start, but I am sad to see that we're going to try to legislate that which is supposed to be like communal.
I was going to say, so here, you know, we're going to pass a law to, you know, and again, I get this because there's really, really though, also I said hardcore right and hardcore left on this one.
Yeah.
That are saying this is not a good idea. And I'm okay with the part of what it's not a good idea, because anytime you quote legislate morality,
right,
you can't make people be, but you know, I know. And so is this going to potentially chill, is the word, is this going to chill speech? And if this law gets passed through the Senate, and if it does make it to the president, and if it does become law and becomes expansive of Title VI in the Department of Education and Civil Rights Act, then the enforcement of it is determined how. How do you make that decision? So when you look at a campus and you see tents, is that anti-Semitism or is that free speech? And I'm hearing some people going, well, if we expand that definition, potentially the tents themselves could be anti-Semitism. And I'm not sure that's where we want to go, but at the same time, boy, we would love those people in those tents to actually have a consistent message that wasn't so harmful. Hey, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the tents and what they talk about.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Mm-hmm. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin next week. He'll talk about his economic policies in Racine on Wednesday. It will be Biden's eighth visit to Wisconsin since the midterm elections. Donald Trump was in Wisconsin this week. Polls show the race for Wisconsin's votes a virtual tie. Wisconsin's newest sports betting venue opens today. Sean Cullen runs the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino Sportsbook in Milwaukee. He tells WISN-TV's Up Front he'd back legalizing sports betting statewide.
I would hope so, and we would hope so, but at the end of the day, that's up to the state. But, you know, we're obviously supportive of that.
The Forest County Pottawatomie signed an amended compact with the state 2 years ago that allows sports betting on tribal property. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State Representative Chance Green has announced his bid for re-election to the Wisconsin State Assembly in the newly drawn 74th District. According to his campaign announcement, Green touted his track record of delivering conservative policies for the region, highlighting tax cuts, economy and infrastructure, protecting sporting heritage, and maintaining election integrity. The newly drawn district will cover the entirety of Iron, Sawyer, and Washburn counties and parts of Ashland, Douglas, Bayfield, and Burnett counties. After weeks of question marks for students, faculty, and area residents, Northland College has announced it will remain open under a new model. In March, the school announced that it needed to raise $12 million by early April to remain open, which it failed to do. Nonetheless, officials and faculty continued to fundraise and restructured the curriculum to solve their budget issues. Under its new model, the school will offer 8 high-demand majors and continue to pursue potential new revenue sources. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Potential blockbusters opening at the box office this weekend include The Fall Guy starring Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers. Movie history will be made as this is the first time someone named after a baby goose in real life is named after a fictitious young horse. The Fall Guy is pulling in 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. Also opening is the film Unfrosted, written, directed, and starring Jerry Seinfeld, which tackles the issue of cereal wars and the creation of the Pop-Tart in 1963 Michigan. The film has not been made available for review yet, which is never a good sign, but fingers crossed. Rom-com fans might want to check out The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway, which is also reviewing very well. And finally, sometimes we see a movie so long ago, we're just not sure if it actually sucked or if we were just young and jaded. In a related story, check out the re-release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which opens in selected theaters. The film hasn't gotten any better, but maybe you're more forgiving now or just need a Star Wars fix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky and lows in the low 40s. For tomorrow, some showers in the morning, staying cloudy through the afternoon with lingering raindrops and highs in the mid-50s. Sunshine's back for Sunday to the mid-60s for a high. Some more rain possible late Monday night. Currently at 68.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show each and every day. We do a show about nothing, but we make it interesting and, you know, we touch on the headlines. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Ah, it's not all because of me. It's all because of you, Anya. All because you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. No. Hey, it's all of us. It's Busted Pencils, actually. Fully led at Education Talk, 855-752-4842. End of the week. Yeah, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, and thank God it's Friday, maybe. Let's just put it. It's Friday and the potential of going into a weekend for a break. I do want to say, though, what an incredibly successful, awesome week, though, to get Busted Pencils in person into Minocqua Brewery for the Tap House, to be able to pull off such a great live event and to have so many wonderful people show up to that event and show support, both for the Busted Pencils, Civic Media, and for Minocqua Brewing. I mean, three great supporting efforts right there, Anya. You think about that. The brewery, Minocqua, supported. Civic Media, supported. Busted Pencils, supported. And people's own mental health, supported right there. All right, so we have been, though, coming back to, again, what's happening on campuses and addressing that. Yesterday, the House passed a redefinition or an inclusion or an expansion of the definition of anti-Semitism that would be applied to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title VI of that, if it would pass through the Senate and then make it to the president. We are potentially, I didn't really have this time to set it up, though, right away, was to say, so what do we think this effect, if this was signed into law, is this an issue that goes up against? Is this too far? Is this infringe on people's free speech? Or is this just simply making clear that creating a sense of fear and harm and unsafety, you're not allowed to do that. That ain't free speech. You're not allowed to create a sense of fear. You know, the idea, you're not allowed to yell fire in a movie theater, right? Because it could cause harm. And so certain voices, we've got a text from Jay Skaliga. Get that. I
don't
was at
know
you.
Either.
Okay. Sorry, Jay. JS. Let's just say text from JS. I was at University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2019. University of Milwaukee. And remember the incident. Students have the right to protest, but not to make threats, which is what happened. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee said it was free speech, but that's not what happened. Okay, so yeah, is it free speech to threaten violence? No, it's not.
I'd go with no. I think that, that's the standard answer usually is if you're going to say something with the intent of I'm going to say it so muchly, I'm going to say something so hard at somebody that it's going to scare them, you're not permitted to do that. And that's a lot of the concern is, yes, you have free speech. Yes, you can support these things. If what you are supporting is, whether you know it or not, hurting somebody, then those words that you're saying probably aren't the nicest, most right words you could be using. Not the
most right. And so at what point does how do we interpret the speech? How do schools and colleges now, with the potential of an expanded definition of anti-Semitism, how does that work in the fact of going, and so what do you have the protests? And, you know, I went to my trusted source, my best buddy, to get some suggestions for question, you know, AI.
Okay.
My AI. Yeah. An AI just was like, well, you know, here's some questions. How do you think the new definition of anti-Semitism might impact discussions and teachings about international politics on college campuses? It's a question. With the legislation potentially broadening what could be considered anti-Semitic, do you believe this will protect students or limit free speech? Why? So the answer here is to come and say on, or the question on this one is, we have a definition of anti-Semitism, and does it need, and if that's not working, and then we increase, so expanding the definition, is that what's needed, or enforcement of the definition that's already there? That's the rhetorical question being put there. I know, Anya, you got the look of going,
I have non-rhetorical answers, but yes. Yeah. I'm thinking the same things. Yes.
Yeah. So another one, have you or someone you know experienced or witnessed anti-Semitism or discrimination on campus? How do you think these new measures will affect these incidents? So maybe that 2019 event at UW-Milwaukee What you're pointing out there, do you think if there would have been an expanded definition of anti-Semitism, that would have made things different for you, Anya?
Oh, I just think if Mark Monian had a backbone. Sorry, I was thinking that if what I meant to say was, I wonder. I'm listening to the question and I'm rereading the new definition and I'm wondering, as with so many things in these past several months, what the point is. I think if this does anything, maybe this is the one corner that this would rest in, is more and more of the discussions being had by the students at these encampments rests around, and I hope I'm not extrapolating too far here, but the terminology surrounding indigeneity. Are the Palestinian people indigenous to the Levant, the land of Israel, or are the Jewish people? And I'll just very quickly levy, it's not an or. Both of these people have a deep, rich history in this land. So if anything comes out of this, it could be the importance of noting the ethno part of the ethno religion that is Judaism, as people continue to have very heated, very emotional discussions about indigeneity, what part that plays in land rights, what part that's going to play in the current discussion. I guess that helps in putting to paper an understanding that there are two elements to it, the ethnicity and the religion. For example, I am not ethnically Jewish at all, but I am religiously Jewish. Whereas you can also be 100% ethnically Jewish and a practicing atheist. And you're both, we are both valid individuals. So if anything, understanding the ethnicity component, understanding the potential discussion around indigeneity, that's important. But I don't think that this terminology is really going to change. I don't think that this legislation is going to change what I see happening on campuses that is scaring students. Mm. That has a lot more to do with understanding the terminology being used, like intifada and things like that. If that makes any sense.
No. And that's what I say, you know, and I think that's the issue here is that, you know, passing a law, what is the purpose of passing a law? For me, what happens is that this is an attempt now for them to go, but we passed a law. And this is me critical of just politicians going, hey, we passed a law. We did what we're supposed to do. Come on. I'm working hard down here in D.C. Yeah. I'm passing anti-Semitic laws.
Or anti-anti-Semitic laws.
Anti-anti-Semitic
laws. Some of them are trying to pass some anti-Semitic laws. So we can call that out. But yeah.
So fighting against anti-Semitism or, you know, like the states kicking back on Title IX for LGBTQ students.
Right.
The idea that they want the right to be mean and nasty and inhumane people.
Yeah.
And then Jim from Appleton, though, please don't forget that the protesters are trying to normalize the phrase from the river to the sea by leaving the second sentence off of that. That is Palestinian must be free. And in so Jim's interpretation, that means the removal of Israel. And so, yeah, so the language that is being used, how does that language land on somebody who's hearing it? And what I'm hearing Jim say is that, you know, from the river to the sea, even minus the rest of the definition, still is very much applicable to be heard as physically threatening. Is that the way you're hearing, Jim?
I'll say I have opinions on this phrase prior to Jim, but yeah, the phrasing of from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. This is a discussion of the British mandate of Palestine. This is a discussion of the Mediterranean Sea and these other geographical notes that while I don't inherently think that every single person who's saying it knows or wants to enforce violence, the root of this statement is it is about a removal of certain people in that place so that other people can be free. The unfortunate truth is that, yes, in the history of this land, not just since 1948, since more than 1100 before Common Era, this is a land of conquest, of removing people, of the creation of diasporas. It's a really awful and bloody history, as with most pieces of land. But in the modern understanding, to use this phrase, this is calling for essentially everyone who is not Palestinian, especially those who are Jewish, to be removed from the area that is from the river to the sea. And this is edging much, much closer to a policy chant, a political statement on the destruction of the state of Israel than, hey, we're really concerned about the Palestinian people, and in any way that we can, we want to help them and everybody else.
And see, that's what you just said there too, is on you, I wondering, and I do mean this as a wondering in the encampments, how many students are there really saying, I'm anti-war. I just want what seems to be a bombing, an incredibly lopsided loss of civilian life at this point, and saying we just want the war to stop, is, you know, saying maybe some form of a peace activist. And but then what you're talking about though too is that, and this goes back to Busted Pencils, the role of education,
right,
how do we now take this moment? And I think I've phrased it this way throughout the week, and even a little bit last week when we talked about this, is that how do you take the reality of what typically happens in a classroom, a K-12 classroom, where a student comes in and says, my sister was in the protest, I saw on the news this was happening. Teacher, what side are you on? Who's your team? Right. And to go, okay, whoa. This is opportunity. This is actually a requirement of going, we need education at this moment. And so I'm saying, you know, it seems like there's a lot of education. As you point out, you know, the long history of displacement of people from the lands under some sense of ownership of that land, and using that and recognizing that, you know, ooh, man, you know, a lot of people might have a sense of going, well, boy, there have been multitudes of peoples relocated or forcibly taken off of their lands. And then those lands in some way become the new people's lands. They're just our lands. And right. You know, and it's just, I get a little wishy-washy on this, and I'll admit it, because now I want to move back into my Star Trek days in the 25th century, where we've come over and realized that we're humans and that land is Earth, and go like we have all inherited the land, and the land that we inherited is the Earth, and that the brothers and sisters that we inherited are on all the lands. And that I know. Right. And that's, I know people are like, well, Tim, that's just not reality. That's not the way things are. You need to take a stand. You need to take a side. Well, I kind of am in that. And maybe I'm coming more on the, you know, truly a peace activist, a pacifist on this, where it's just like going, man, what's for sure happening is no movement forward in a discussion to really say, it's just like, okay, this is really bad that's happening over there. There's lots of people getting wrapped into situations and places that they didn't want to be, or they're feeling like, and then people coming back and then defending, that's not what I meant to say. Man, it's a tough place. So back here, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, is it's not a tough place. And we're going to, if anything, we're going to lean into the uncomfortableness of going, this is really hard. This is really, really hard. And man, if I can just always take a moment to step back and go, we're humans and we're on this land. Man, we got to figure this stuff out, people. And a lot of that figuring out is done in the settings that we call educations in school. And maybe this is really time to realize that schooling, going for test scores, come on, we need to go for human understanding and compassion and acceptance of that shared struggle of what it means to be human. Yeah, when we get back.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
School's out, boy. Well, not yet. Your school's still in session. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education, talking some hard stuff here on Busted Pencils. What's happening on college campuses can be seen as just a simple exercise in free speech. Maybe. Can it be seen as posturing towards making other students not feel safe? Can people participating in protests potentially not be coming to the protest with full knowledge of what's happening and how words and how language and how history sets up a moment for certain ways for us to understand, and that depending on at what point in history you want to start understanding certain events from, you may see them differently, because making that choice, right? Busted pencils, you know, but that's what we're trying to do here. And I was telling Anya during the break, the number one thing that Busted Pencils has always wanted to do, yes, public schools are the foundation and bedrock of democracy. But, you know, the simplicity, because that can sound itself even kind of like highfalutin, bunch of nonsense crap, Tim. I want any listener out there to go, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I don't know what I know now. I don't know that I'm clear on what I know, but I didn't know that. And now that I know that, man, I got some thinking to do. I got some considering to do. I got some research to do. I got some people to talk to. I got to get some sense of going, because I did not know that. And I have to imagine that that has been any one of us at any time at certain points. And all of us have always been in that place where we went, I didn't know that. That's okay to not know that, to not know that. It is. It's okay. It's not okay, though, to say, I don't want to know that. Or that I now know really gets in the way of what I want to do. No. Okay. Now you know. You did not know that. Now you know. You know that you might be feeling uncomfortable. When we talk about this in education research, this is just simple cognitive dissonance. And, you know, when I'm working with future teachers, I'm always talking about, like, you know, if there's any goal in helping learning occur, one of the most opportune areas for learning to occur is in that state of confusion, or, yeah, the highfalutin term, cognitive dissonance. Okay. Or let's be honest, from an English standpoint, when you're confused as crap, okay, cognitive dissonance, confused as crap, you pick whichever one. But when you're confused as crap, there's an opening right there to be able to learn. It doesn't mean there's an opening to infiltrate, but that opening allows us to go, I didn't know that. And what we want you to say for any of these topics, Title IX, the expansion and or the continued, you know, pulling back of even just the Title IX whole idea, you know, in this, the whole moving gender discrimination, and recognizing that including in gender discrimination, that the inclusion of LGBTQ plus students is not necessary. It's, you don't have to be offended by other people being included in humanity. You know?
Yeah.
You could maybe disagree with it, but you don't have to then create pain and suffering for people's inclusion in humanity. So in this moment, if you've been listening to Busted Pencils over the past 5 years, if you started listening to just the podcast in 2014, the goal has always been to move in a direction that said, I didn't know that. And so when we came up with the show, it was imagining somebody driving by in their car, hearing Anya and Tim talking, hearing Johnny and Tim talking, hearing Johnny and LA Tom talking, hearing the conversation between caller Joanne, hearing the conversation between teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie. When we have those, and if you're listening to go, wait, I didn't know that. Okay, awesome. Next time you feel that, though, here's the other part. Give us a call. That's it, right, Anya? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. We will never go, how did you not know that? We're going to welcome you into the I didn't know that crowd because, man, I spent a lot of time recognizing I didn't know that. I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. And now that I know that, and I will admit sometimes some of the things that I come to know, darn.
Yeah,
that's not help. Go ahead, Anya.
No, I was going to say, I sympathize with that feeling. There are times where I look back and I went, you know, duh, if I had just like known a little bit more about this, I would have saved myself so many mistakes. And I think that too is what, for me, causes so much of this fear is I love the message of keep learning. And I am also scared that maybe some of the folks that I see posting from these encampments are at a point just for themselves where they're not interested in learning or listening to others. And keeping that mind open. I mean, it sounds kind of dumb or simple, but like that is the only way we're going to get through this, folks, is if you are willing to hear each other and listen. I know a lot of students like me don't feel welcome at the table where those discussions are being had for fear of being name called and thrown out, but you have to have that spot for them or we're not going to get anywhere, you know, ever again, it feels like.
Yeah, got to have that spot. And again, you know, we're talking about free speech. Yeah. And with free speech becomes the protections that come with that. And yeah, Anya, we're admitting, you know, lots of speech is painful and uncomfortable. And in fact, we don't want to outlaw it. On this one, on the government legislating what is now could be considered of hate speech, I guess is what you say. You know, yeah. And then this is where my kind of libertarian conservative kind of rebellious side gets a little bit concerned about the man making definitions because Anya, it is the man.
It is the man. I'm nervous about the man defining me and my people too. I'll say that. So yeah.
Yeah. Anytime the man jumps in and tries to figure stuff out, man, usually the man, he ain't got a whole lot of good sense when he comes to the table. He's typically doing something that makes him feel like he is important. This is all about the man feeling important. I don't know if this is about making people feel safe. What a week, though. Busted Pencils. Yeah, man. Loving it. Got to see everybody in person out there. Hey, check it out, though. You want to have Busted Pencils live in your neighborhood? Give us a call, man. We would love to come out and be a part of your bar, your bowling alley, or your backyard. Busted Pencils. See y'all on Monday.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there.
Ice.
I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.